This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 216.
Welcome to the MTA podcast, where it's all about empowering you to run a marathon and take your health to the next level. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we speak with Dave Asprey, founder of the Bulletproof Radio Podcast and author of the book Headstrong, the Bulletproof Plan to Activate Untapped Brain Energy to Work Smarter and Think Faster. And in this episode's quick tip, we'll tell you about an app that gives you a 3D video of your runs. And of course, to get expert help in your training, learn about Academy membership when you visit our website, marathontrainacademy.com. So we're actually between houses right now at the time of this recording. We're sort of homeless, aren't we, Angie?
No, we're staying with my sister and her family in northern Pennsylvania. And we have been doing that for about a week and a half. And all of our stuff is still on a truck.
Yep.
Waiting for hopefully Friday at the time of this recording when we'll be able to sign our life away and move into our new house.
Yeah, like 2 days from now. So we're excited. And we're going to be talking about ways in which we hope to upgrade our health and just some things, new things we're going to do in our new house. So we'll talk about that after this interview, but we're really excited about having Dave Asprey on the podcast. He's probably got one of the top podcasts in the health category in iTunes, New York Times bestselling author, tech investor, just really interesting guy. And this conversation is going to go into topics that, you know, we have never discussed on the podcast before, like mitochondria and stuff like that. It's It's a real, like, deep dive, sort of microscopic look at what's going on inside of our body. So sometimes we do, like, the bird's eye view look on things. This is the microscopic look at things, don't you think, Angie?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, as much as we want our listeners to be strong of body, we also want them to be headstrong. And so that's where Dave Asprey and his new book come in. So, yeah, I think people will, you know, really be intrigued by this conversation.
Angie, I've always known you to be a headstrong person, so I don't know if you need more help.
I won't deny it. I'm pretty stubborn.
So anyway, lots of great things going on out there. So a few quick shout-outs here, Angie.
Yeah, that's right. We'd like to say congratulations to Coach Steve. He recently ran 100K. And Trevor, you can chime in with a little more information on this amazing race that he did.
Yeah, this looks like an amazing 100K, and it's one that I hadn't heard about. It's called the Zugspitz Ultra Trail 100K. It's in Germany. Steve's kicking butt, man. He finished 31st overall out of, I think, 500 registrants, and he finished in 15:57, which is a fast 100K.
And this thing is like up and down mountains.
Yeah, it looks epic.
We'd also like to say congratulations to Academy member Donna. She recently ran her 20th half marathon in her 10th state, and she did the Seattle Rock and Roll Half Marathon for the charity team in training.
Love it. And I got to meet Donna last year at the New Orleans Rock and Roll Marathon. That was fun.
And this next note comes from Jade, and she is a 16-year-old coaching client of Coach Chris. And this is what she says. I had such a fun time at Grandma's Marathon and had such a positive experience. I look forward to marathons in my future. Coach Chris helped me train and prepare fabulously for the race so that I felt confident in my ability to complete the marathon when race day came. The scenery at Grandma's is gorgeous and the crowd support is awesome throughout the race. I had some tough portions in the later sections, but I was able to push on and I crossed the finish in 4 hours, 35 minutes, and 20 seconds. There really is nothing like crossing the finish line of a marathon. I also just wanted to let you know I'm a big fan of the MTA podcast, and I listen to it throughout my training runs. Thank you, and that comes from Jade.
Well, that is so awesome. I mean, can you imagine how many 16-year-olds have already run a marathon? That is epic. So big congrats, Jade, on completing the Grandma's Marathon. We heard from a few people who did Grandma's recently, which is a great race. But anyway, keep up the great work, Jade. That's awesome.
That's right. This next note actually is from Ryan, and he said, marathon number 2 done in 28 days. Ran Grandma's Marathon with a few other MTAers out on the course. Felt great until mile 21. Was hurting bad toward the later miles and refused to walk after mile 24. I was on track to beat my Fargo time by 10 minutes, but ended up with only a 4-second PR. He says, ha ha, because of course we know that any PR is a good PR for a marathoner. He said, it was a fantastic course with great support. Really loved it once I got into Duluth. The whole event at the end was awesome.
So he says something about like refusing to walk after mile 24. That's not easy to do. I mean,
especially when you're hurting.
Like there's some psychology going on right there, don't you think?
Definitely. Mind over matter.
Mind over legs.
We'd also like to say congrats to Salil, who got a 3-minute PR at the Grammys Half Marathon. And he's been working with Coach Steve, and we're excited about having him in the community. And this next note comes from Melissa. She says, I ran my first 5K this morning. It was my first time ever having a 7 in front of my pace with a 24:12 finish time and a 7:48 average pace. I just had to share with the group since no one else in my life shares in the excitement like fellow runners.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to find folks who, you know, if they're not runners, they even have like the frame of reference for what an average pace is or how exciting it is to even like shave a couple seconds off your pace.
Exactly. Everyone needs some runners to geek out with about, you know, your goals and meeting those goals.
Exactly. Runner geeks. That's what we are.
Proud of it. And this final email comes from Jamie. He says, hello from Alaska. I just signed up to be a member, but I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of years now. I had to tell you a funny moment that happened during a race this weekend. I ran the first 2 legs, 10 miles total, of the Very Hilly Buddy Half Marathon Relay, which is part of the Mayor's Marathon Race Series in Anchorage, Alaska, where I live. Around mile 6, I spotted a woman who looked a lot like Angie from the back. She was wearing the Angie uniform, Marathon Maniac shirt, similar skirt, and similar hat. I didn't have the wind to call out Angie because we were puffing uphill, so instead I put on the speed so I could catch up and get a glimpse of her face. Turns out it wasn't Angie, but by the time I realized that, I was at the top of the hill and had gotten a second wind. So I managed to finish my legs of the race 3 seconds faster than my goal pace. Even when you aren't at a particular race, Angie, you're still managing to inspire runners. Thanks to both of you for all you do.
Well, that's definitely a story we have never heard before.
I know. I just thought that was pretty funny. I mean, I've seen people who wear kind of a similar outfit at different races and stuff, so.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you got the second wind, Jamie, and were able to finish your relay so strong.
Inspired by not Angie. Well, we're going to get into our conversation with Dave Asprey. He is a New York Times bestselling author and founder of The Bulletproof Company. You've probably heard of Bulletproof Coffee. His new book is called Headstrong, The Bulletproof Plan to Activate Untapped Brain Energy to Work Smarter and Think Faster in Just 2 Weeks. He is also a Silicon Valley investor and tech entrepreneur going back to the early days of the internet. In fact, I asked him a question about if he still keeps his ties with Silicon Valley. And he says, without missing a beat, he said, we don't wear ties in Silicon Valley. Touché.
Yes. Get to dress very casually.
So anyway, it's an interesting conversation. Dave is a fascinating person. And we're going to talk about the fact that our body is a complex system, but that, like other systems, it can be hacked, hence biohacking. And we'll also talk about what's going on inside the body at a cellular level. So we're going to jump into that right now. And after the interview, we will get back on with a few concluding thoughts. So we will catch you on the end of this interview. Okay, we're on the podcast now with Dave Asprey, author of the book Headstrong and founder of the Bulletproof Executive, Bulletproof Podcast, all things Bulletproof. Dave, it's great to have you back on the MTA podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
So take us back to the beginning. For those that don't know your story, what got you interested in enhancing physical and mental performance and led you to become the Bulletproof Executive?
You know, I used to weigh 300 pounds and I started to get really bad brain fog. Like my brain just stopped working the way that I knew it could. And I got a little scared because exercising 1.5 hours a day for 6 days a week didn't work. And eating a low fat, high carb, low calorie diet didn't work. And all the things that were supposed to work didn't. In fact, they just made me more and more tired. Eventually, I got a little bit desperate. I ended up spending, well, at this point, $1 million. But for a while there, it was about 15 years and $300,000 just hacking my biology when doctors couldn't do it. I am a computer hacker by training. I led technology strategy for the company that held Google's first server when Google was just 2 guys in a server, like the creation of the modern internet as we know it in the late 90s.
Wow.
And when you're going to manage a complex system, you might as well manage a complex system. It just so happens that our body is a complex system, and you can hack it even if you don't know everything about how it works.
Excellent. So when was that? Was that like late 90s?
Yeah. Okay. So that was in 96, 97. And it turns out when Facebook was the Facebook, they were using our facilities. And I actually taught a lot of engineers in Silicon Valley like how to build infrastructure the way we still do it today. It's an amazing time.
You still keep your ties with Silicon Valley and friends?
We never wore ties in Silicon Valley.
You never wear ties?
Good. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, no, I still have a lot of friends from back then.
That's cool.
One of the... You know, some of the investors in Bulletproof, and Bulletproof has venture capital investors. These are guys I've worked with, some of them, for more than 10 years, which is kind of cool. So it's amazing to track the progress of people and how they move around at different companies, but absolutely.
So can you give us a sense of what all happens at Bulletproof? I mean, I know you guys got the podcast. It's a huge podcast, very popular, one of the top shows on iTunes in the health category. A lot of great guests. And what else goes on at Bulletproof? I know you have the Bulletproof coffee, but go ahead and talk a minute about that.
Sure. Bulletproof has a lot going on. So in addition to Bulletproof Radio, we've got about 425 episodes now. Won a Webby Award. The new book, Headstrong, that just came out about 6 weeks ago, I found out last week it hit the monthly bestseller list in the science category.
Wow.
Which is it's a huge honor, because most of the time, books in for what I do, they come out in the advice and how to category, which is kind of ephemeral. But Headstrong was sandwiched between Homo Deus and Sapiens, and we shared the list with like the Undoing Project and When Breath Becomes Air, like these really big books. I'm like, yeah. Whoa. So basically, writing books that matter is really important to me. Just like on the podcast, it's not wasting people's time, providing something of value. Because if you have 50 million downloads, that's 50 million hours. That's like hundreds of human lifetimes. So either you're a mass murderer or you did something good. I like to think I'm doing something good. So that's like the information part of it. We reach about 10 million people a month through combined channels with just information that's out there as a service for people. And to fund that big of a microphone, Bulletproof also makes products that radically transform how you feel. I'm interested in the stuff I can't buy. And the stuff that is noticeably effective. So we make Bulletproof coffee. We make brain octane oil, which is way stronger than coconut oil or MCT oil. That is a core part of the recipe for it. You can buy Bulletproof products nationwide at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Lassen's, and many of the other natural products grocers. So we are a consumer brand. We make something called fat water. Instead of putting sugar in your water, it's a special kind of fat, that brain octane, that metabolizes directly to energy. And we also make various supplements, things like Sleep Mode or Eye Armor or Unfair Advantage, things that recharge mitochondria. And the whole point there is I want to feel amazing and have more energy now at 44 than I did when I was 22. And I do. I feel and look like I'm getting younger. And the idea is, how do I make this suite of products that are going to be accessible for people? So that's kind of the Bulletproof in a nutshell. Oh, and I forgot, there's a coffee shop, actually two of them in LA, a couple more going in New York and Seattle. And we're looking at many other markets, you know, places like Austin and, you know, just all over the country.
That's awesome. So who coined the term biohacking? I mean, it's kind of become a buzzword in our culture now, but.
Yes, this is what we've wanted to ask you.
It's one of those things where there's something called an emergent phenomenon, and almost every major idea has two or three inventors around the same time.
Yeah,
it's hard to know exactly who. I can tell you I didn't trademark the term, and I could have. I have some of the original domain names for biohacking, and as far as I know, I'm the first person to define it. And the definition is the art and science of changing the environment around you and inside of you so that you have full control of your own biology. And the point there is, like, I just want to be chill all the time. Okay, that's your goal. I want to get swole. Okay, that's your goal. Like, they're radically different. But the techniques that do that, it's like your body won't listen to you very well. It'll listen to the world around you. So why don't we hack that?
Interesting.
And I wanted to create a community around it. So Bulletproof is a registered trademark and all that. But Biohacked is intentionally not trademarked, because I wanted there to be a community of people. It's not about health. It's not about wellness. It's not about not being sick. And it's not about, you know, running marathons faster. But if any of those is your goal, you can use biohacking as a tool to do that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about inflammation a little bit. Talk about what causes it and what it does to our bodies.
Every single time there is inflammation in your body, it comes from one single source, mitochondria. And these mitochondria are ancient bacteria that we like to tell ourselves 2 billion years ago, our cells took over mitochondria as a power plant. We harnessed them. And the mitochondria are looking at each other, all quadrillion of them in your body, and going, 2 billion years ago, we found these petri dishes floating around. We took over and we're still in charge. So there's these little rat bastards floating around inside of you who think they're in charge. And the scary thing is they are in charge because they decide if your cells live or die. They decide if you can make a protein or not make a protein. They decide if a neuron fires. They decide what hormones you'll have. They decide if your body will be repairing itself or getting ready to run away and kill things.
That's a lot of power.
Yeah.
It is a lot of power. And they're sitting in there. I imagine them, like, they have little rocking chairs and like, ha, 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 you know, we're in charge and no one knows. The thing is, though, they're slaves to the environment. And that is their Achilles heel, in that you change something in the world around you and they're like, oh, I guess I will behave. So they can be trained and you can make them your servants. But if you let them think they're in charge, you're just a petri dish. So this is actually like a part of the evolution of human consciousness as well, like understanding there's that dynamic and that there is another system in there that is much faster than you, that's designed to keep you from getting eaten or burned to death or suffocating and all those kinds of things. It's a useful thing. Mm-hmm. So inflammation comes from these little bastards. And if they're not happy, if they're not running well, if they're dysfunctional, if they're misshapen, if they're not getting fuel, if they're stressed, inflammation happens, and then you get muffin top. And you get muffin top around your waistband, or you can get in the book, one of the chapters is called Muffin Top in the Brain.
Yeah, that's a good part.
Inflammation happens anywhere in the body, and it can happen as a result of, you know, breaking a bone. It's not like there's time to pump a lot of fluid in to swell up. It actually swells up very, very quickly because it's actually leakage in the mitochondria in the cells. And when you have inflammation that's unhealthy, it's highly destructive. When you have no inflammation or no free radicals, you actually don't get a healing signal. So when you lift heavy weights, you get inflammation. That's called the pump, although some of that's just blood, but some of that's actually micro tears to the muscle. Good. That inflammation will trigger healing and growth. On the flip side, if you exercise that same muscle every single day and it never gets to recover, the inflammation becomes chronic and it actually becomes pathological and bad for you.
Okay, so other than muffin top, what are some other clues or signs that one could be suffering with chronic inflammation?
Well, are you alive?
Hopefully.
If you're alive today, you have some chronic inflammation in your body, if you're like 99% of people. And some of the signs that you have fatigue, allergies, autoimmunity, sore joints, any musculoskeletal pain, inability to pay attention, forgetfulness, food cravings, all of those tie back to mitochondrial function. If you're getting those things, you probably have some degree of inflammation somewhere in the body. It's an endemic problem. It's tied to aging. When your mitochondria are dysfunctional, you are aging. When they're dysfunctional, you are inflamed. Every single chronic neurodegenerative disease, and even non-neurodegenerative, just degenerative disease, is tied to inflammation and is tied to mitochondria intrinsically. You don't have those diseases if you don't have inflammation and your mitochondria running in full power.
So what do we do about these little rat bastards, Dave? How do we
get them to behave?
Get our mitochondria to behave.
I'm just undergoing a mitochondrial removal process. When I'm fully done detoxing, I'll have no more mitochondria. Okay, you can't do that. That would be called death.
Wait, tell everybody what your shirt says, because they.
My shirt says mitochondriac on it. It's from the last Bulletproof conference, and it's got like an artist's drawing. In other words, like my hand picture of a mitochondria. Yeah.
That's perfect.
It looks like a little tail on a cell or something, right?
Yeah, and it turns out mitochondria are little ancient rod-shaped bacteria, little ovals. They were red bacteria originally, and they just have some squiggly mitochondrial DNA in the middle and a bunch of organelles and a membrane that's also part of it. And the membrane itself makes electrons. We oftentimes don't think of ourselves as being electron-driven, but just like, you know, just like your iPhone, it runs on electrons. We take food and to some extent sunlight, and we convert it into electrons, and we use that to power our brain, to power our breathing, our heart, our muscles, everything. Everything you think, everything you do, every emotion you have, every creative thought you have is powered by electrons the same way as the Facebook app on your phone. It's actually really sad. No, just kidding. So what do you do about them? Well, they don't listen very well to you. They know if you're stressed or not stressed based on changes in your heart rate and specifically the spacing of your heartbeat. But what they really listen to is the world around you. And it is proven, and I cite all this research in Headstrong, it's proven beyond any shadow of a doubt, they are sensitive to every spectrum of the electromagnetic frequency. They listen to vibration, sound, touch, heat, gravity, light, water, food, nutrient availability, timing. These are the things in the world around us. So you can do things like change the quality of the light you're exposed to. You have more brain function. You have less inflammation. Your cells change. The other thing is you can make your sleeping environment pitch black, like all the way dark. Light blocking curtains where there's no light leaking around them, every LED taped over. And the idea is you should be able to see nothing in your bedroom. And when you do that, this is really cool. Your mitochondria, they are so light sensitive for a reason, because they're listening to the world around you. They also listen to each other because they generate light. They're called biophotons. They make light the same way an LED light makes light, which is why LED lights are so toxic to our mitochondria. They're a form of junk light that you should like get rid of in your life. And these light signals can be interrupted by relatively small amounts of light. So if you're sleeping with a nightlight on, your quadrillion mitochondria cannot talk to each other to basically tune the battery system in the body at night the way they're supposed to. They end up acting like a quadrillion little tiny batteries that don't talk to each other. Maybe you should sleep in absolute darkness. You change your curtains once, you tape over all the crappy lights in your room, and you switch your light bulbs out to get rid of the LED lights so that you have good old-fashioned dimmable halogen or incandescent lights. And when you do that, you're like, wow, now my sleep has changed. For me, when I do that stuff, I get about twice the amount of deep sleep in the same amount of time. Like it's a huge change, and that's all from hacking mitochondria.
Yeah, you talk about creating a sleep cave in the book.
And it's critically important. Another big thing for your mitochondria, if you are reliant on sugar, so keep in mind, your mitochondria, your bacteria, there's really three things that you have to do to stay alive, right? There's run away from, kill, or hide if there's something scary. Like that's basic. Every bacteria knows to do this. And the way you might kill is, you know, make toxins or whatever, or you might have a way of moving. But that's an important thing. You should eat everything to make sure you don't starve to death. And you should have sex with everything else to make sure the species reproduces. You just need to get those three things done, and then you're a good bacteria. So you have a quadrillion bacteria in your body motivating you to do those three things right now. And that's why when someone puts the cookies in front of you and you get that voice, just eat the cookie. That's actually not you. That's the mitochondria. Those dumb little bacteria want the cookie. And now that you know it's them, not you, you can say, shut up, except they have a very annoying and loud voice. So you could just use your willpower to tell them to shut up. But wait a minute, where does willpower come from? It comes from electrons. Where do electrons come from? The little bastards. So they will stop making electricity for your willpower eventually because you run out. And then you eat the cookie and then you realize that you're a bad person. Maybe that last part ought not to happen, but it sure did to me when I weighed 300 pounds. Yeah. So what do you do about that? You could make sure that there's so much energy in the cell that they stop worrying about eating. That's where Bulletproof Coffee comes into play. The brain octane oil that's a part of the recipe for this is a form of exogenous ketones. It's much stronger than coconut oil or MCT oil. MCT oil tends to make you poop on yourself, which is a problem, and it doesn't use ketones very much. So you put the brain octane in there, and all of a sudden your mitochondria chill out, and they stop telling you that you have to eat the cookie. There's no voice anymore. And that's kind of a major hack. So now you've got more rest and recovery at night because you manipulated your light environment by using the optical filters, by creating a sleep cave. And then instead of having these up-down energy cycles, you get like a brownout in the brain when your blood sugar crashes. You back it up with exogenous ketones that come from brain octane in Bulletproof Coffee. And then you should probably consider increasing the amount of polyphenols you eat. And there's a lot on this in Headstrong. The definition of a polyphenol most people have heard about is these are antioxidants from plants. It turns out they're really not much in the way of antioxidants. They're more signaling molecules from plants. And they're fundamental to human life. They're so fundamental that some of the international borders we have today are from the original tea and spice trading routes.
Wow.
When I was in like seventh grade, I was like, teacher, why did they have spice traders who would like put spices on a mule and freeze to death in the middle? Like, why does it matter? And the teacher was like, well, Dave, they didn't have refrigerators back then, so the meat would spoil and it didn't taste good, so they needed spices. Yeah, whatever. That's so not true. You lied, teacher. I caught you. What's going on there is that our bodies require these signaling molecules, these polyphenols. So the single densest source of polyphenols is herbs and spices. So in order to get those, it was something worth trekking over the Himalayas along with salt, which is another thing required for your cells to work well. And after that, it was tea and coffee and chocolate. And to this day, there's global trade in those things because polyphenols are fundamental to how our cellular biology works. You try and eat the all white diet, you know, white sugar and white bread with no polyphenols, you're not going to have cellular activity the way you could. So those are some basic hacks. Another big hack, get some sunshine every day. I actually have a tan. And it's healthy to have a tan. If you're pasty and white, you're not doing it right.
It's not a spray-on tan, right?
No, I tried to get the presidential tan, but it was all sold out. I don't know why.
You do look a little orange on this video, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a little orange because orange is like the company color, and we've got these halogen lights reflecting off an orange wall. And so I apologize. My skin is actually just a normal tan color, not a bright orange. I swear. Sunlight, though, is a major signal to your cells. If you don't get any ultraviolet A and ultraviolet B light, specifically ultraviolet B is more important, you won't function at a cellular level the way you're capable of functioning. You tend to repair your eyes if you get some ultraviolet light. So if you always wear sunglasses and a hat, or even just regular glasses that have UV filters, like almost all of them do, your body's ability to self-regulate goes down. So for 20 minutes a day, go outside in normal sunlight, without a hat on, without glasses, and as naked as is legal in your region, and you'll like it.
It's like Benjamin Franklin used to take a sunshine bath on his porch or in front of his window.
Yeah, that's right.
Knew what he was doing.
What I do every morning, I live in Canada, so it's kind of dark up here in winter, is I will stand on the Bulletproof Vibe. It's a whole body vibration platform that is another one of the Bulletproof products. And it's a form of exercise that stimulates mitochondria by vibrating rapidly. Something used by like NASA pioneered that frequency for making astronauts recover faster. I stand on this thing in front of a tanning lamp. So I'm on the phone with my EA. I'm generally naked, so this is not a video call. And I'm vibrating. and if you had a video of that, you could probably sell it on YouTube for a ridiculous amount of money because it was the most humiliating video ever. But it's funny. And that is how I hack my mitochondria. Physical vibration and ultraviolet light. And the cool thing is I'm getting work done at the same time.
That's right. So what are some of the hidden toxins in people's environments? I mean, toxins is something that gets thrown around a lot. But, you know, what are some things that people don't think about?
Well, one of the big ones is what's in your carpet and your furniture. This is formaldehyde and flame retardants, especially in bedding. It's a real problem. And these are poisons to your mitochondria. Another one is glyphosate contamination in our food. This nasty stuff. They tell you, oh, it doesn't affect humans because it doesn't affect, we're not made of bacteria. I'm like, did you get the memo about mitochondria? Did you get the memo about the gut bacteria that talk to our mitochondria? And did you get the memo about how having bacteria in your soil is required for life to sustain on Earth? So that's a major problem. Don't eat non-organic food, especially grain. Or non-organic wheat is just dangerous because they're spraying this chemical on it at the end of the crop so they can save a few bucks on harvesting. But the effect on your immune system, on your inflammation is devastating. This has to stop. It should be illegal. In fact, my perspective on Monsanto is they might want to just seize all of their assets and use it to repair the damage they've done in the world, like that kind of a thing. But anyway, that's just me.
And then what about mold? You talked about mold a little bit on the last time we had you on.
You read my mind. The other big toxin doesn't come from Monsanto or from flame retardants that are caused by laws driven by the state of California. Yeah, California, we're looking at you. Your dumb laws say I have to have 6 pounds of flame retardant in a mattress in case an infant is smoking in bed. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, sorry. I've got off my soapbox. By the way, it's a flame retardant soapbox. So
no problem.
But now let's get back to mold. 50% or more of houses have water damage from leaky roofs, condensation, or leaking pipes. Because of the way we build our houses, toxic black mold will grow. You oftentimes can't see it. It makes poisons that are in the environment, in the atmosphere. You breathe those things and they directly damage mitochondrial function and they trigger massive inflammation in some people, but not others. Different symptoms for different people. One of the reasons I weighed 300 pounds is I lived in a house with Stachybotrys, the worst of the worst.
Wow.
I filmed a documentary called Moldy. It's moldymovie.com. And you can go there, and I interviewed a dozen of, like, the top doctors in the country, guys like Mark Hyman and Daniel Amen, about what does toxic mold do to your brain? What does it do to your body? And it turns out we have a major epidemic of this. Since I did the documentary, four other major figures in the health world realized they had toxic mold in their houses.
Because
sneaks in, it grows. And it turns out in agricultural products – mold contamination has been a lifelong problem since we've started agriculture. Even like the Salem witch trials were likely caused by people who got a mold, an ergo fungus on their rye, which contains LSD.
Oh, no.
And so we've known about this since like 1680. They didn't maybe know what was going on back then. It was easier just to light people on fire. But what's happening now is different countries have different standards for different agricultural commodities. When you eat these toxins, some people get like really tired, inflamed, they get migraines, they get eczema, they get psoriasis, they get angry, they get blood sugar crashes, they get jittery. And one of the biggest sources of a kidney toxic mitochondrial toxin is coffee. And it's such a problem that almost every country in the world has a standard that says if you have more than 5 parts per billion of this toxin, you're not allowed to sell it in the country. The U.S. doesn't have any standards. So I have the president of the Specialty Coffee Association, a former president, on video telling me about the time when he was in Japan and they rejected 1,000 containers of coffee that was 1,000 containers. These are like, you know, the giant shipping containers.
Wow.
Because it was too moldy to meet Japanese law. And I'm like, what did you do with that? He said, oh, we sent it to the U.S. It's legal to sell it there.
Get all the crap coffee from the world, though.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. Last time we had you on the show, you talked about this, and I went to our local roaster. This guy really is this coffee connoisseur, roasts his own, and great little local coffee shop. And I said, what do you know about mold on coffee beans? He said, nothing. Never heard of it.
Oh, God.
So where is this disconnected information?
If you do a search for one ugly mug on the Bulletproof website, I cite 35 studies. And what happened is in the up till about the early 90s, a lot of coffee was processed with a natural process, which means you pick a coffee berry, which basically it looks like a cherry.
Right.
You leave it out in the sun on a tarp while it spoils, and then you flake off the outer parts, and then you process the coffee. You rinse it off, and that makes a lot of toxin. So for high-end coffee, over the last 10, 15 years, they switched to something called washed coffee. And when you wash coffee, instead of letting it spoil in the sun, you let it spoil in a vat of mostly river water. Like, I've been to Guatemala. These are unsterilized, cement-lined, if you're lucky, troughs. Or they just dump a bunch of coffee and water, let it sit for a couple days, and hose it off to basically let the fruit spoil. And that's when the toxins are formed. And depending on what's growing in the water, you get different things. So washed coffee is always better. And if you ask someone in the coffee today, a lot of them have heard of mold in coffee now because of Bulletproof. They just say, well, there's no mold in our coffee. We would know it. We'd see mold. And no, it's the toxin made by the mold. It's parts per billion. You can't taste the toxin. You can't see it. And frankly, it's hard to test for in coffee. So I've basically changed green coffee processing. So a local roaster is going to say, I know everything about making it taste good. I'm like, what you put into the roaster affects what comes out. Roasting is just the easy part to sell. You got to roast it right or it doesn't taste good. But if you don't put carefully engineered coffee into it, the way you feel when you drink the coffee is you feel jittery and cranky and you need another cup 2 hours later. I had to give up coffee for 5 years because I was really sensitive to that stuff. Now I can drink my coffee all the time. And that was, you know, the market size for mold-free coffee was zero when I started Bulletproof. I didn't know if anyone would ever want it besides me, but it seems to work.
Awesome. So people's lifeline may be actually something that is, you know, turning around to bite them in the butt, you know, if they're not being careful about their coffee source.
It really matters. And it's not about being organic. It's not about like coffee is bad or whatever. It's not even meant to be a criticism of coffee roasters, coffee people. We all care greatly about coffee. It's just that there's science about something you can't see, but you can measure that has a really profound biological impacts. Coffee and all processed food has always been about how cheap is it and how good does it taste. So a roaster is going to buy the beans that are most affordable, that taste the way they want them to taste, and roast them the right way. And it's going to be fresh roasted beans by Juan Valdez's second cousin and, you know, all the marketing. Sorry, guys. They sat in basically spoiling water for a couple of days, and that changed their nature, and it changes how you feel.
Interesting. Well, there are lots of great articles and videos and of course, podcast episodes and stuff to dive in deep over at the Bulletproof website. But as far as the book Headstrong, any thing you want to say about the book before we let you go and tell folks how to get a copy of it and why they should get a copy of it?
Head on over to your favorite bookseller. It's still in stores, and you can find it online wherever you like to buy books. And what you'll find is that not a lot of books make the science list on the New York Times. This is a book about why it works and then what to do. There's like a 2-week plan in there to turn up your mitochondrial function. The first place you feel it is here. You have the most mitochondria in your head. So that's why you get Headstrong. The stuff in there has changed my life and is different than the Bulletproof diet. It's not a restatement of those principles at all, other than ketosis matters, but for different reasons. And I'm blown away already at the feedback. So I would say buy the book, read it. There's an Audible book that's really good. I did a 7-city road show, talked to thousands of people who read the book. It's a powerful work, and I'm grateful for the way it came out. And if you like it, also please leave a review on Amazon. It's one of the easiest things you can do.
Awesome. It's a great book, and it just really led me, you know, to be re-inspired about how amazing our bodies are, and you know that we don't have to be helpless and just kind of carried along by the whims of our mitochondria. We can do things to improve our brain function and our overall health. So yeah, I'd encourage people to get a copy of the book for sure.
Well, thank you so much.
Let's get the upper hand on those rat bastards.
That's right.
I think you're the first guy to say rat bastard on our podcast, Dave.
It's one of Trevor's favorite terms, so you just made his night.
I did my research. I was like, what is Trevor like?
Yes. All right. Great talking with you, man.
Thanks so much.
Have some day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And this would be a good time to tell you about this episode's sponsor, Cozy Phones. If you enjoy listening to music, podcasts, or ebooks while you run or at the gym, definitely check out Cozy Phones. It's a product that brings a whole new level of comfort to your listening while you are on the move.
Our friends at Cozy Phones have created a very special headband headphone with super thin speakers held in a lightweight wicking fabric. This allows the speakers to comfortably stay in place while you move. The Lycra headband, cool mesh lining, and cushioned speakers won't irritate your ears like painful earbuds or bulky headphones. And the washable headband keeps the speakers comfortably in place on top of your ears, not inside, so there's no chance of them falling out. Cozy Phones are simply the most comfortable way to listen to your workout, and also people use them for sleep or travel on an airplane.
And they do have a 100% money-back guarantee if you're not satisfied, which is cool. And you can get 20% off by visiting cozyphones.com/MTA. Just go to cozyphones.com/MTA. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Dave Asprey. A little bit different than some of our other guests, but you know, I think it's good to go off on a new topic once in a while. You think, Angie?
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes it challenges you to look at things in a new way. Not that everyone has to adopt everything, you know, but sometimes it just is good to dive deep into a certain topic that you might not normally think about.
But, you know, when I think about Dave's message, it's all about upgrading, you know, one's life. And you might not take it to the extent, or maybe some would say the extreme, that a lot of these biohackers do. But there are, like, little things that we can change in our environment that make a big difference. So with this move to Pennsylvania, we are buying a new house. In fact, it's the first time we've ever owned a new house. All the scratches and dings in the house are going to be ours. And all the dirt that gets settled on the carpets, it'll be our dirt, right?
Well, I think anytime a person makes a big move or a transition, it's a period of your life where you can evaluate, you know, what you're doing now, what you'd like to do better, and it makes a good time to implement habit change. And, you know, for better or for worse, sometimes people's habits can go downhill when there's a big transition time, or, you know, you can upgrade them like we hope to do.
That's true. And even if you're not moving, I mean, there are changes you can make, you know, obviously right now to the environment that you live in. And these are things that we've wanted to do for a long time. Like, for example, I plan on getting a standing desk. Actually, I have been sitting on an exercise ball, so it kind of works on my posture and stability and balance. But the exercise ball I had actually had a slow leak, so I'd have to like re-pump it up every couple hours.
Like sinking.
Anyway, it's kind of ridiculous. But anyway, I've wanted to get a stand-up desk for a while now, so that's one thing I'm going to do. Another thing that we hope to do, plan on doing, is start eating more grass-fed beef and organic food. So we've kind of felt like for a while that we needed, you know, an extra deep freeze to maybe like buy half of beef and have somewhere to keep it.
Right. That's a great way also to, you know, take seasonal fruits and vegetables and be able to freeze them for later on and everything. So I think that will be a great change. And we're also excited about designing a well-functioning office podcast recording studio space, which we haven't had.
That's right.
We've always been crammed in our dining room.
In fact, right now the audio might sound a little different because we're sitting in our brother-in-law's office recording this. But yeah, we hope to have like a legit studio with sound deadening panels and stuff. And of course, no, like we heard Dave talk about, proper light, definitely no fluorescent light.
Right. And we also hope to expand our home gym. We've only had just kind of a few free weights, dumbbells before, and we'd like to purchase a treadmill and get some a more comprehensive weight training system and make that part of our basement exercise room. So we're excited to have the space to do that now.
Yeah, we're going to have a basement, and hopefully one good-sized corner of that basement will be our home gym.
That's right. And of course, the area we're moving to has a very active running community, and we want to get involved with that and explore some of the local trails and join the local YMCA, which we always enjoy. So
the trails are exciting because we're going to live like 10 minutes from the Appalachian Trail, and there's lots of day hikes too in the area, and having some proper hills around, that's going to be a change for us because we came from a very flat area before. So now it'll be easy for us to do our proper hill training.
We'll be huffing and puffing for a while.
That's right. So there are a few ways that we are hoping to make some upgrades to our own health and environment with this move, and always trying to take things to a new level and seek how we can improve, just like I know that you guys are. Well, now it's time for this episode's quick tip. We want to tell you about a nifty app that we just heard about. Angie, take it away.
Nifty. I haven't heard that word in a while. Sorry, I just have to mock you briefly.
Oh, that was a nifty use of the word.
Yes, this is an app that was recommended by Debbie, an Academy member. She posted on a private Facebook group, and it's so cool. It's called Relive, and you can find it at relive.cc. It's a free iOS and Android app that launched early this year by a group of friends who are cyclists. They were actually on the cycling adventure, and they thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could, you know, share the route and an overview of what we did with our friends and, of course, look back on it later. And so they have it set up so you can relive and share your outdoor adventures with 3D videos of your runs and your cycling rides. Plus, it connects with your Strava, Garmin, or Polar accounts. So it just takes the data from there once you connect.
It looks like a Google Maps flyover of the route that you ran on, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a good way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you know, it's dimensional, so it sort of looks like
the topography is all showing up.
So yeah, pretty cool. Check it out if you're into that kind of thing. That is called Relive. You can find it at relive.cc.
And we'll have a link to that with the show notes on our website.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for being a listener. Hope you guys are having a great summer so far. A lot of folks are beginning to think about their fall race. We have a lot of folks training with us that are going to be doing Chicago. Of course, you got the New York City Marathon in the fall and just so many great races around the world. The Berlin Marathon, which we did last year and loved. So anyway, if you're looking for extra help in your training, we'd love to have you in the Academy. You can find out about what we have to offer over at marathontrainingacademy.com. While you're there, you can see all of our past podcast episodes, blog posts. We dive deep into things like injury prevention. We also have recommended resources and, of course, a way to get on our newsletter list so you can stay up to date on what's going on and any new content that we produce. And thanks again to Cozy Phones for sponsoring this episode. Remember, you can get 20% off this super thin, washable, lightweight fabric headphones by going to cozyphones.com/MTA. Until next time, remember, you have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Well on my way, well on my way. No way.